coming close to the close of it, talking about Christ calling community. And today we're going to be looking at the last part of it. And so my thoughts are this, is that in the first couple of weeks, we looked at Jesus. We looked at the person of Christ. We looked at the message of Christ. Then we moved into calling, talked about the called and the chosen. That we said that this is what I believe, that I have been called by God. And church, hear me on this, that we believe that God still speaks to us. Amen? The next was we went into cause. One of the messages I brought was, is it going to be your way, or is it going to be God's way? And then last week, Pastor Brad brought a great message called Discovering God's Destiny for Your Life. Some of his key thoughts was that it's less about going and more about doing while you go. Being faithful with the little that God gives us, and truly examining our hearts, dealing with these questions like, are we fully surrendered to Him, and are we willing to step in the destiny that He has for our lives? So today I want to talk a little bit about community and the church. So I've titled this message, The Power of Community, The Power of the Church. The Power of Community, The Power of the Church. I was reflecting just a little bit this morning, just thinking about me as a little guy growing up at Southwest Assembly of God in Little Rock, Arkansas, and some of the things that I experienced. It was where I used to go to Sunday school, and we had the flannel board, you know, we had puppets, we had all these things, and I'm learning about God and growing in my faith. I remember getting baptized there. I remember giving my heart to Jesus. I think I got into a couple of fights at church, you know, with my friends and stuff like that. In fact, I think one of my first kisses was with a girl at church, and we were playing spin the bottle in the parking lot. Come on, I'm just being real. You're like, what kind of church did you go to? It was Southwest Assembly of God. That's all I know. Anyway, but my memories, my rich memories of the church, my focus really was about that I wanted to be there. There was something about that, and I'm thankful for those times that God had for me in that. I want to throw some stats out to you. I want to give you some figures, and I hope that this will resonate with you a little bit. The first thought is this, is that I'm not sure if you're aware, but we are approaching 8.2 billion people on planet Earth. We're at 8.1. We're a little over 8 billion on planet Earth. 2.6 billion of these people are believers in Jesus. Come on, give me a wow. That's amazing. But it also shows us how many are away from Him and how many, if they do not come to Christ, are going to miss God forever. So we're looking at a fourth of our Earth's population are followers in Christ. And the question would be, why? I think about like how many people we have in the U.S. We have 332 million people in the United States of America, and 20% of these people attend a church weekly, not once a month. Because if you think that attending church once a month is being a faithful attender, then you're in the 40%. But to be at a weekly service, to gather with the people, we have 20% of America now. From 2005, we fell from 30%. It was a gradual decline, but then when COVID hit, we went from a gradual decline to a slip and slide and went straight down to 20% very quickly. But when I was researching on the state of the church this week, they were showing that there is a rapid increase of people going back to the house of God because they're looking for truth. In fact, let me tell you this, of that increase, 40% are millennials. Come on, it's good. So let me give you this stat. I want you to check this out. More people on a given weekend, on a Sunday, 73 million people every Sunday attend church. Out of the 332 million that live in the United States of America, 73 million of those people attend a weekly worship service. Now, to put that in perspective, of all pro sports put together, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, MLS, PGA. In 1 year, all those games, the hundreds of games, 142 million people in a year will attend a pro event. Now, on Easter and Christmas, we talk about this, the CEOs, Christmas and Easter onlys. That church attendance doubles. We go from 73 million to 146 million on one given Sunday, more than all of the pro sports put together. And the question is why? Why are 2.6 billion people finding their way to the house of God? I've thought about when, you know, I mean, I wanted us to think a little bit about what made you go to church for the first time. Was it out of habit? Was it a family tradition? Was it out of duty or guilt? Were you pressured to go? I mean, me as a little guy, I remember I got put into a car and I went whether I wanted to or not. You know what I mean? I loved going to church. Don't get me wrong. It was just that, you know, if you lived in the Stewart home, you were going to go to church. So if I would have lived as a single man in the Stewart home until I was 35, I was going to church until I was 35. Does everybody understand? That was what that was about. If somebody was to ask you, why do you go to church? In fact, what if they even asked this, what is church? What is the church? How would Harvest, how would the people who go to church answer that question? I think to be able to answer that question, we have to answer what is not the church. I want us all to know this, that church is not a building. Church is not a building. Lori and I planted a church called 3-in-1 in 2009. The church is still doing great and everything's amazing with it. But I remember that as we were planning that church, we would have people that would join us, and man, they're plugging in, and they're wanting to be on the worship team, they're wanting to serve, and they're going to all the events, and everything is amazing. And then 6 months later, and I'm telling you, it would happen over and over and over, they would go, you know, this is going to be our last Sunday because we just need a building. And I'm not even kidding, they would say that to us. We need a church that's in a building. And I'm going, we are in a building. You know what I mean? It's like, but it was like they wanted something that was like a solid building for them. Did you know the church is not an institution? Institutions have a beginning and they all have an end. Church is not a club. Give me an amen. I love meeting people. I love loving on people, but we're not a club. Church is not a place that I go to, and it's not a place that I attend. The way I would say it is this, is that the church is a spiritual family that I belong to. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 2, it gives us such an incredible look at what the church was in the very, very beginnings. Jesus has died on the cross. He's come out of the tomb. He has risen from the grave. He has ascended into heaven, and the church begins. And in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42, this is what it says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Remember that word. In the breaking of bread, in other translations, it'll actually say having communion together. And in prayers, many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Everybody say together. And had all things in common. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. All the people. Doesn't matter who they were, if they came to Jesus, all the people. And it says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord, God Himself, was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. The Message says it this way, every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. And in the New Living Testament, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now to know and talk about the church, then it might be good for us to go into the Greek. And the church in the Greek is ekklesia. And ekklesia, I love how it speaks and how it gives us the definition. Look at this. It says that we are a community of believers, a gathering of men and women of God who have assembled to be called out of the home. Check that out. This is in the Greek. To be called out of the home to a public place to worship God and fellowship with others. And there's that word again, fellowship. What is fellowship in the Greek? Come on, guys. Koinonia, right? Koinonia. So in koinonia, look at the definition here and how it's very close to ekklesia. Koinonia is fellowship. It's community. It's associating with others. It's having communion together. It's an actual pledge. You're making a vow, a pledge to have community fellowship and to be a part of the church. I don't know if you guys know this, but in the Bible, in fact, on your Bible apps, if you're ever in your app and you're just reading the Bible, you know, you're at school and you got your phone, you pull out your, what they'll have in here is, like, say you're in Acts chapter 2. You know, there's 40-something verses in there, but it'll break it into, like, segments for you. They'll have little subtitles that'll let you know for the next 8 verses, this is what you're reading. And this is what is above what we just read in Acts chapter 2. Go ahead and put this up there. In the New Living Testament, it actually says your believers form a community. Contemporary Standard says it's a generous and growing church. The Passion Translation says it's the community of believers. And then in the good old New King James Version, it says that it's a vital church and it's growing. You see, we've talked about what the church is not, but what does the Word of God say about the church? Well, one of my first thoughts is this, is that the church is God's family. The church is God's family. 1 Peter 1:3, for it is His, God's boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. Paul is writing a letter to Timothy from prison, and Timothy's about to give up on Ephesus. He's wanting to kind of get out of there because the church is letting in things and going back to old ways. And look what he says to Timothy. Then, even if I'm delayed, you will know how to live in the family of God, and that family is what? What does it say? It's the church. It's the church of the living God. Ephesians 1:4. Long ago, even before he made the world. So church, catch what he's saying. That before planet Earth has ever been created by God himself, it says that God chose us to be his very own. That we would be his church. That we would be a part of his family. And then the very next verse, verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. God is using his church for his eternal purposes, and God's plan for all time involves the church. But the question is still, why the church? Why? Ephesians 3:10 and 11, I think, answers this, and it says this, in his reason, to show all the rulers in heaven how perfectly wise he is when all of his family, now check this out, Jews and Gentiles. Hey, Gentiles, everybody look at me. Amen? Come on, Jews and Gentiles. We, doesn't matter what education you have, how much money you have, the color of your skin, if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, we are a part of this family. Jews and Gentiles. That's what I love here. Praise God. Are seen to be joined together in his church in just the way he had always planned it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you guys ready for some scripture? Because I'm going to lay it on you here. This is not Matt Stewart opinion. This is all coming from the Word of God. Ephesians 3:10. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Man, they're talking about us up in heaven. Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. Remember, we're not talking about pajama praise or pajama worship. It's getting out. It's being called out of our homes to a public place of worship, but encouraging each other all the more as the day is approaching. What is that scripture saying? It's not up there for you, but listen to what Paul is just saying there. He's saying that any and every time that the doors are open or there is a gathering of people, that we would do it even more because the day of Christ coming back is soon. Why the church? And this leads me to my second thought. The why is because the church is the bride of Christ. Amen? The church is God's family. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus died for his church, and we are his bride. 1988 in Fort Worth, Texas. I married Lori Wilkerson, and we were in Fort Worth at Bethel Temple Assemblies of God, and Lori's father was the pastor, Lori's mom, a pastor's wife, right here, Bonnie, the famous Bonnie Wilkerson. And anyway, we were getting married, And the thing is, though, is that it was your typical, I would say, your 80s wedding, because in the 80s, I think the color choices were incredibly bad. It was, I don't remember a lot about my wedding, and it wasn't because I drank too much the night before. It was just literally, it was just kind of a blur. It happened so fast. Here's some pictures going back to 1988. Here's Lori coming down with her father. Look at the big hair, you guys. Look at that over there. The girl's like explosion. And then there's Lori and I leaving at the end. And guys, here's what happened. They start playing the music for my wife to start walking down the aisle. And all of a sudden, that's what I remember about my wedding, is seeing Lori coming down to me. First of all, proud of her because she had just recovered from an ACL surgery from a skiing accident and was able to walk down the aisle, and that she looked beautiful, but at the same time, she was my bride. And as she's standing in front of me, I want to tell her everything that I possibly can. In fact, I was supposed to sing a song to her, and I couldn't even do it because I was overwhelmed. It was a good song, though, you guys. And she's standing in front of me, and all I want to do is tell her how much I love her and that I want to spend the rest of my life with her. She was going to be my bride, and I was going to be her husband. And how much more of a joy is that going to be than when Christ comes back for his bride, all those who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior, for his bride. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 says this: "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it to make it belong to God. He died so that he could give the church to himself like a bride in all her beauty." You know, we live in a culture right now, and it's not even, I'm not talking about people that don't know Christ, I'm talking about even people that are within the church that are attend church services weekly. You will hear people say this: I'm just really tired of church people, or I'm really sick of the church. And I've seen pastors on YouTube where they'll say this in front of their congregations, and people will get up and clap, and the comments will be hallelujah and all this. And I'm sitting there within my heart going, We are really messing up here. Because no matter how you feel about the church or the people of the church, our scripture is one way, and it's one way showing that Jesus is going to actually return for his church. No matter how you feel about the church, he's coming back for his bride. Come on, give me an amen. My cousin, he's the lead guitarist for Lady Gaga. He's actually playing for American Idol right now. And he, at the time, was signed with Fourth Avenue Jones. They were signed on Toby Mac's record label. They were with Interscope Records, and they were a Christian hip rock soul band. I think they had about like 8 or 9 people in the band, violinist, bass, guitar, rappers, singers, the whole thing. And I had gone down to L.A. I wanted to meet with him to talk to him about some stuff. And he said, "Hey, man, when we get done with rehearsal, I'll meet you, and then we'll go out." So I pull up after rehearsal, and he comes down. He goes, "Dude," he goes, "I'm so sorry." He goes, "I forgot we're having a devotional. Do you want to come up and kind of hang out with us and go through the devotional, and then we can go?" And I said, "Yeah, man." So I parked my car, and I went in there. So the MC, the lead singer, he's up there, and he's sharing his devotional. And somehow he gets on this rabbit trail about how he's sick of the church. He doesn't want to be known as a Christian. That I don't even want to draw a fish in the sand. I want to be known as something else, something else with being a follower of Christ. And guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm sitting there, and I'm being filled. Can I just be transparent? I'm being very transparent with you. I'm getting filled with this righteous anger. Something is rising up in me. And I'm watching the crew and the band, and nobody's nodding their heads. Nobody's saying anything, and he's saying these things. And he looks over at me, and he goes, "Matt, your family," he goes, "you know, what do you think?" And I'm just telling you guys, the Holy Spirit came in me and took over my tongue. And I start talking about the bride. I start talking about the church. I start talking about, we can't get caught up in feelings like this, is that he's not coming back for somebody he doesn't know. He's coming back for somebody who is a part of his church. Amen? And I'm saying these things, and half of the crew kind of starts clapping, whatever. But guys, there's something that we have to understand, is the world already wants to lock the doors. It's not even about the building anymore. The world already wants us to be quiet and go away. But the fact is, according to the statistics, is millions upon millions every year are coming to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. His church is being added to daily. Can I get an amen? You see, Isaiah 54:5 says this, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." You know, in Revelation 19:7, it says, "Let us rejoice and exalt him and give him glory, because the wedding celebration of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." That's us. That leads me to my third thought, and that's this right here, is that the church is the only thing on earth that will last forever. Did you guys know that? We can't take our homes with us. We don't get to take our money with us. You don't get to take your cars, your guns. You don't get to take anything with you. The church is the only thing that will last forever. Give me an amen. Ephesians 3:1. "Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ." Here's the eternal part. "And all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity." Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. "He will descend from the heavenly realm and command those who are dead in Christ to rise first. Then we who are alive will join them, transported together." Everybody say together. "In the clouds to have an encounter with the Lord in the air, and we will be forever joined with the Lord." This is not in my notes. I'm just giving a little bit of a plug. After Easter, we have 1 week left in that series, and then we're going into an end times series. Last year, we did one called Just Before the Return of Christ, and this year, we're just going deeper. We're going to go into Thessalonians. We're going to go into Ephesians. We're going to get into Revelation. We're just going to take that a little bit deeper, and so I want to encourage you, if you're going to invite somebody to anything after Easter, invite them to that series. So check this out. What are we seeing here in 1 Thessalonians? We're seeing a couple things. That whether you're dead or you're alive at the time that Christ comes back, we are all, the church, is going to be transported together in the clouds to have an encounter with the Lord in the air, and we will forever be joined with the Lord. Now check this out. Look at the very next verse, verse 18. "So encourage one another with these truths." This is not hopeful thinking, or this is hopeful wishing. The writer is saying, in fact, encourage one another, celebrate this, because this is truth. You want to know why 40% of millennials are starting to go back to church or going to church for the first time? It's because they're hungry and thirsty for truth. The greatest privilege or honor in this life is to be a part of God's church, to be able just to say, "I am a child of God," and not be ashamed of it. It's more important than your nationality. It's more important than your gender. It's more important than your money. It's being able to say that I belong to God's family, being able to say that I'm a bride of Christ, or that I'm a part of the body of Christ, that I've been set free, that I have been saved, that God knows my name, that I have been called, that I have a destiny, that I am not a slave to fear, that I'm not a slave to addiction. I am a child of the Most High. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that I am a part of His church, that I am not alone, and God is adding to my family daily. Come on, yes, give the Lord a hand of praise. Daily. Remember, it was 1 Peter 1:3 when he says, we are all now members of God's own family. Let me just pastor this for a second, and God help me with this. If we want to see more people come to Jesus, then there has to be something different about the church. There has to be something different about us and about the church. We have believers now that are justifying sin. They're creating their own standards against what the Word of God is very clear of. Let me just say it this way. If we are believers and we are still, let me just say a few. We're lying, and people know we're liars. We gossip. We talk behind people's backs. We're addicted. We're recreational drug users, or you're addicted to weed, or you're addicted to alcohol, or you're addicted to porn. Can I just say this to men and women that are struggling with porn? A lot of people will say, "I can't defeat this," but I want you to know something. You actually can. And when it comes to your computer or your device or anything like that, if it hits you, the temptation, all you have to do, I'm just telling you, and I know it's not as easy as I'm making the sound, all you got to do is throw that thing across the room and say, I'm not doing this right now. I'm not doing it right now. We have, I'm calling out godly husbands and wives, that men that won't be thinking about cheating on their wives, and wives that won't be thinking about cheating on their husbands. That the young singles are not sleeping together before marriage, that there would be some godly character involved in this, because you're going against God's word. You're actually defeating what the church is trying to do. Let me just say it this way. What about the church will be attractive to the world if we're just like them? We need to be attractive. We need to be actually different from them. If we are just like the world, why would the lost ever want to pursue a life of Jesus? If I'm swearing and doing all these other, and my buddy's looking like, why would I go to church? Because I can do that without going to church. Why would the world ever want to be a part of what's going on here in the family of God if we're no different from the lost? You know what? 1 Corinthians 3:16 actually addresses this. And look at this. Living Bible. Don't you realize that all of you together are the house of God, and that the Spirit of God lives among you in his house? If anyone defiles and spoils God's home, are we talking about a building right here? God will destroy him or her. For God's home is holy and clean. What's it say, church? You are the home. Isn't that good? You are the home. You are his church. You are the church of the living God. And I would just say this, own it. Amen? Get excited about that. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't get caught up in what, it's like, own this. Own that you are the church. Step into the reality that you belong to God's own family. Listen, be different from the world, because the world is not our home. Amen? You see, here's the fact. We were all born into the human race. We had no choice. Okay? We come into the human race. We start growing, whether we're believers in Christ or not. Here's what happens, is at some point we want to start making money. Come on. We want to be able to buy our first car. We want to be able to live independently. So what we get involved in is this thing called the rat race. And in the rat race, there's tons of music. There's songs that are written about it. There's poetry about it. There's actual writings and books about the rat race. But guys, if you look at the definition of what is the rat race, look at this. This is actually, you can Google this and it'll come up for you. The rat race defined as this. It is a constant, fiercely competitive struggle. I'm going to stop there. That already sounds terrible, right? A constant, fiercely competitive struggle for wealth, power, pleasure, sex, and survival. Here's the truth for us who are believers now. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff because we've been born again. We have been given a new life. We have been redeemed by him. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are born again into God's family, which is known as his church. My identity has nothing to do with the rat race. Has nothing to do with the rat race. My life will not be defined by struggle or survival. Listen, I don't want to just survive. I don't want to make it into heaven by the skin of my teeth. Is everybody with me on this? Listen, I'm not worried about pleasure, wealth, and sex, and worldly power. I'm not here just to survive. I look at this chapter. Look at this verse that's going to come up here. This is a conversation between Jesus and Peter. We're very familiar with it. And he's talking to Peter, and he says, now I say to you that you are Peter, or Kepha, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build, say it, church, my church. Now, here's what's important to understand. He's not saying that Peter is the Messiah. He's saying, look, I'm going to be the rock inside of you, and upon this rock, I am going to build my church. And look what it says. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom in heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. That doesn't sound like just surviving. It sounds like because of Jesus, we have defeated death and hell. Come on, church. It's amazing. That's a good thing. Guys, listen, I'm reaching way back. I'm going way back for this one. There was a song that we used to sing as a little guy in the 70s. I don't know how long we held on to it. In fact, I'm not sure when it started.
I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Come on, sing it out. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Come on. That's who we stand on. Come on, church. This isn't about a building. It's not about people who hurt our feelings in church. No, this is about the rock. It's immovable. It's unshakable. It's unending. It's the rock. I am not here to survive. I know who I am. I know the power we have in his name, that we are the church. We are his church. And hell has no chance against us because God has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We are born again into God's family. Who's the we? It's the church. Remember the church, ecclesia, community of believers, called out of our homes to a public place to worship and fellowship with one another. It's community, the power of community. True community and family, and watching God add to the numbers daily that's going on, that are coming to Jesus, that are finding Jesus and beginning to build the church. Daily watching God do his thing. You and I, the church, and we are building the kingdom together. It's you and I, the church, and we have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Pastor Matt, what are you talking about? Purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Well, let's look at this in Acts 20, 28. So guard your hearts. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit who appointed you to guard and oversee the churches that belong to Jesus, the anointed one, which he purchased and established by his own blood. You and I are the body of Christ. Pastor Brad talked about the body of Christ, and I'm not going to go into that in detail because he did such a great job with it. If you missed it, go back and listen to it from last week. But 1 Corinthians 12, 27, all of you together, everybody say together, are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. The Passion Translation says you are the body of the anointed one, and each one of you is a unique and vital part of it. Why the church? You know, I love how the Old Testament points to the new. I love how the New Testament points to the old and how they confirm each other and through prophecy and things that were fulfilled. But guys, when you talk about the church, you know, we're talking about something that was in God's mind before the world was ever created. But that even when you go back to even the time of Moses, when he's walking through the wilderness and God says, look, I want you to do a couple things for me. I want you to, because I want to be with you. He says, I want you to build me a tabernacle, and I want you to make this Ark of the Covenant. Gives them great detail on what they're supposed to do. And look at this in Exodus 25, 22. And it says, and there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you. Can I just say this one more time? Everybody look at me and just listen to me just for a second. It's going to be very difficult to be a believer or to be a Christian in this time if you can't even believe that God still speaks. And that he actually wants to meet with you. And this leads me to my third and final thought. I'm going to have the worship team come on. Can you give the worship team a hand? So here's my final thought. The church is God's family. The church is the bride of Christ. The church will last forever. And the church is a connection. How many of you guys have ever heard of Jacob's Ladder? Come on, man. I mean, I had buddies that I knew they didn't even go to church, but they knew Jacob's Ladder because in fourth and fifth grade, we'd sit there with string or yarn, and we'd do these things with our fingers, and we'd pull it apart, and there was Jacob's Ladder. You know what I mean? Y'all remember doing it? Come on. Am I the only one that did Jacob's Ladder? Okay. All right. I know. I'm a little older. People are looking at me like, whatever. Jacob's Ladder. The cool thing is that this story has something that is so powerful both in the old and the new, and I want to show this to you. Jacob has stolen his brother's birthright. Esau is so angry with him that he wants to murder his brother, and he's not just going to murder his brother. He's going to murder anybody and everybody, including animals, that are attached to his brother Jacob. He's on the hunt. He wants to kill him. So here's Jacob now in Genesis 28, starting with verse 11. It says that when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. Is there a building here? Is everybody with me so far? He had a dream in which he saw a stairway. In other translations, it might say ladder, stairway or a ladder, resting on the earth. And with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Everybody say on it. This is very important that you say it. Say on it, because I want you to capture this. So this ladder is in heaven and coming down to the ground, and the angels are descending and they're ascending on it. Verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Again, there's no building. There's no choir or worship team doing anything. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. The Lord will be my God, and the stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all of that, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. I love a sermon in Scripture where it just even reminds us in the middle of it, we're supposed to be paying our tithe. That was free. Let's go to the New Testament now. Okay, so we were in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament now. A couple weeks ago, I talked very briefly. Philip has found the Messiah. He goes running to Nathanael. Nathanael. We found the Messiah. We found the Christ who Moses has been talking about. You've got to come check him out. He's from Nazareth. And how did Nathanael respond? He goes, Nazareth? You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so Philip's like, dude, would you just shut up and come with me? You know, let's come, you know. So Nathanael is walking. They're miles away. They are a half a day away. And they go and come to Jesus. And Jesus sees Nathanael coming. And he goes, I know you. You were sitting under the fig tree, and starts talking about things about him that there's no way Jesus should have known. And Nathanael goes, like, wait, he knew I was, surely you are the Christ because you knew these things about me. Now check this out. John 1, 50 through 51. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. You know what Jesus just said right there? He says, dude, if you think that's incredible, buckle up, man, because you're not going to believe what's going to happen in the next 3 years. Come on. Now, let's keep going with this. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on, not on it, on the Son of Man. Every Hebrew man, woman, and child knew the story of Jacob's ladder. They all know it. And Jesus is just right there saying, I am the ladder. I'm the ladder. I'm the one that you've been looking for. I am the connection to the Father. You will be my church, and I will be your ladder. You are my church. You are my bride. I will be your connection to the Father. You will find community in me. Give me an amen. I am going to go to the cross for you. I came out of the tomb for you. And very soon I'm going to return for you. You are my church. We are members of God's family. Jesus is the way. He is the stairway. He is the ladder. He is the first and the last. He always was. He always is. He is unmoved, unchanged, and undefeated, and never undone. He is our peace. He is the conqueror of death. He is the rock. He has risen to power. He will reign for eternity. Let me introduce you to my Savior. His name is Jesus. He is God. He is Holy Spirit. He is the Messiah. Come on, Harvest. And he will return soon and very soon for his church. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, just close your eyes. Nobody looking around. This morning, we had multiple people respond to this, and I just want to give this opportunity. If you're here this morning, without hesitation, you would say, Pastor Matt, I need to give my life to Christ. I know I do. I can't do this on my own anymore. I want to be a part of this family. And I know I'm going to need his help. If that's you, you don't have to move. You don't have to just raise your hand very quickly so I'll know who we're praying for. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. If you're comfortable with this, only if you're comfortable, can you guys just lift a hand or two hands with me right now? Father God, I thank you for these men and women who lifted their hands so boldly. That Jesus, you're going to touch them. You're going to renew them. They are going to be born again. You are going to help them. You are going to speak to them. And I'm believing, God, that you have a purpose for them. And so, Lord, I just ask you to bless. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you are God and that you know who I am. I lift my hand because I need you. I'm asking you to forgive me so that I can be used. Come into my life. Take my heart. Take my mind. I am your child. I confess you as Lord, and I confess you as Savior. And we pray this in your holy and precious name, and let Harvest all say amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of prayer.